Blog Talk Radio.
Of those joy bells ringing in your soul today on this glorious and victorious day it is, a day that the Lord has made, that we will rejoice and be glad in it. For we know it is He that have made us and not we ourselves. Oh, joy bells keep echoing over and over again in my soul. Just like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters, we should not be moved. And as the late and great Bishop David L. Ellis said, those joy bells, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for saving me. And then I can hear the echoing, the resounding verbatim, the rhythmic overture of those joy bells ringing in my soul. And let me tell you something, that song is just as refreshed today as it was back then. And truly we're thanking God on this wonderful, powerful Wednesday. Yes, it is another day that the Lord has made, that we should rejoice and be glad in it, July 27th, 2020. Here on the spoken word. Here we say, and we live by the fact that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Here is our life force and our life source. As we're scribing in this present day and time to maintain the integrity of walking in our faith, as we experience the manifestation of miracles, of divine breakthroughs, of divine things that we speak into existence. And remember, the scripture said unto us, the living word, the word of God, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. When something is established, it's organized. It takes physical manifestation. It materializes right before our very eyes. And he said that the favor of God will shine upon you and your paths. And let me tell you something. The only way that you're going to receive this greatness is to walk according to the word of truth. The truth will enlighten you and strengthen you and give you the momentum to be victorious in a day and time where there are so many challenges on every level to be faced. And I just love the fact that our Lord, is he your Lord? Jesus Christ said that he is the victory that overcometh the world and even our faith. So we're standing firm and standing fast in the liberty whereof as Christ has made us free. And we are not being again entangled in the yoke of bondage. That's right. Well, we know that God took the simple things of the world to confound the wise. And when you look at the events that are categorizing in this present day and time, we see people are making a lot of unwise decisions. They're allowing anger, animosity, unforgiveness, frustration, aggravation to pull them into a way of self-annihilation. And we know that these are merely but psychological impingencies and attacks orchestrated by the enemy, Satan, the lying wonder, the devil. But here, Jesus gives us the comfort of knowing that he is the victory that overcometh the world and even our faith. And it's at his name we ascertain. That means we have entitlement to the provision for the victory through his name. The dark forces of this present life have to flee. Negative energies have to decimate and vaporize. Because as you understand, as we live in the present physical world, we are existing on a level of frequency on the terrestrial plane. We are existing in a physical world that is also metaphysical. But so many people are blinded by attempting to keep up with the world, the standards of the world, what the world is doing. They fail to realize that the trueness of our identity is encased within us, because we are spirit beings encased in a physical body or a physical embodiment. Just as a pearl is condensed in an oyster shell, the trueness of our character is encased within this physical body. But listen, the invisibility is what makes way for the physical visibility to take manifestation. And if people more so addressed the affairs of the world intrinsically than externally, as opposed to from external to internal, we wouldn't see all these violent and apathetic and unapologetic behaviors taking over society. So here on the spoken word, as we are traveling this adventurous path called life, we are teaching you as Christians that you have the arsenal within your reach. You have the artillery in your grasp to utilize, to create the world around you. The world doesn't dictate to us. We dictate the world. This is why Jesus gave us that revelation that he is the victory that overcomes this world and even our faith. We're not to be overcame by this world. No, the world is subject to us. And Jesus even told him that the disciples who later translated becoming the actual commissioners of this new phase existence. He says, don't think it's strange that the elements are subject to you. Because why? We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. That's right. The power of the Holy Spirit abides within us. And people act as though that the Holy Spirit is differentiated. God is not a respecter of persons. The same Holy Spirit that was given to the disciples, who later became the actual new phase commissioners, is the same Holy Spirit that is within us. And the scripture tells us that we shall receive. Jesus said, he's the living word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the same was in the beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same is in the beginning. So he is the living word. The Holy Spirit is the living word. It is the quickening aspect of our spiritual existence. It speaks to our natural consciousness as well as to our spiritual or metaphysical consciousness. And we are a complete package. But that package constantly has to be redeveloped, reshaped, realigned, redesigned oftentimes in order to become that idealistic creation that God intended for us to be. So we're not attempting to please mankind, because The Lord told us. He said, you do your alms before men. Well, men will give you your recognition, but you don't have nothing coming from God. But when you do your alms in secret, he that seeth thee will reward openly. So there is a blessing in speaking the word, and even more so in living the word. This is a progression. This is a process. We don't get it all at one time. It is an evolutionary process. We evolve. We go from faith to faith and from grace to grace and from the miracle to the miraculous. It just keeps on getting better. And we're just thanking God for those of you who have tuned in on this early phase of the evening. And we're asking that you would remain diligent, be steadfast. Know that your help is coming. Psalmist says, I lift mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. And my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And he that keepeth thee will not let thy foot slip. And he said, he that keepeth thee, neither does he slumber nor does he sleep. And he even gives his angels thee assignment to watch over us, to protect us, to guide us, and to keep us. And oh, we only could, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the things that God protects us from, we would not be able to encase it within our natural mind. We would not even be able to conceive to the fact of what God protects us from, because the invisible world is just as real as the visible or the tangible world. That's right. And we know that through the blood of Jesus and through the authority given in his name, these forces have to dissipate. They have to disappear. Even the most chief of principality, when it hears the name of Jesus, that frequency has to be absorbed. Because God has given him a name above every name. It is at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And we've got that treasure in an earthen vessel. So thank God for those of you who have tuned in. I'm here to tell you, it wasn't that good. It's improving, it's going to get good, but then the best is yet to come. So just hold on just a little while longer, and everything that you cried about, that you prayed about, that you worried about, is going to be all right. And to those of you who have experienced the transitioning of parents, of associated relatives, coworkers, know this, that to be absent in the body, as Apostle Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. And we know that the physical aspects of that person will be missing from your life. But know that they are in the hands of God, and there's no better place to be but in his kingdom. And even think about it, when Jesus spoke to the thief that was on the cross, what did Jesus tell him? Today shall thou be with me in paradise. My Lord, in paradise. And they are in paradise enjoying the splendors. They yet live. They yet live. And they're awaiting us in that time frame. And someone asked me, said, teacher, do you believe that they exist? Yes, they do. They exist on another level of life. They're living. What you see lowered in the ground is not them. Again, the pearl is encased within the shell. But upon the release of that shell being broken, the trueness of the identity, the existence of that pearl becomes evident. So we understand now that there is life on another level and dimension. Does the scripture tell us that? In certain aspects, yes. And in some things, no, because mankind in his ignorance will attempt to end his life upon the earth so that he could go to that other dimension and come back and tell. Let me tell you something, that's not God's will. Stay off the territory that God has not charted you to be on. Remain where you are. Complete your journey step by step, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. And when God gives you the appointment time to go to the next level of existence, he will let you know. Until then, we have to occupy until he comes. I was even asked another question. Do you truly believe of the second coming of Jesus? Yes, he came once to save the world, to present the good news that redemption had come, that through God's eternal and unquestionable sovereign love, he came to bring forth the truth that mankind would be saved. But next time when he comes, he's going to rapture us. A lot of us are going to still be living on this earth when he comes for the second time around. I know we've heard our grandparents and even their parents and on saying it, but no, observe the time. Look at the aspects of what's happening in society. It is at a time that none could ever compare. The rambunctiousness of sin, of iniquity, the backslidden church, the worldly church, the church that went a-whoring about in the world and picked up the uncleanness of the world. The world gives its musical performances, and now it's gotten to the point there's ticket sales in congregations. That's scriptural. That's the great falling away. Everything that the world is doing has now come into the congregation, and it's accepted. It's called the New World Order. You may not like it, but it's here. And Jesus told us to be watchful and to be prayerful, because what will happen? False prophets, false teachers, false ministers are going to come, and they're going to lure many people away from the truth. But he told us, don't give up. Hold fast. And that when he comes, he's going to set all things in order. But for right here and for right now, we have to teach, we have to preach, and we have to live the truth and tell others the truth. That God said to clean up these congregations. Clean up your act. Because God is not pleased. He's not pleased. And we know how our Lord and Savior felt about the selling of goods and items in congregations, selling of merchandise. Jesus got so angry, he made a whip of cords, and he turned over those tables in that temple, and he swung at those merchants, and he told them that the congregations are for praying, worshiping God, and sharing the word, and take not his father's house and make it a house of merchandise. That's not what's supposed to be going on in congregations. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. And Jesus warned us, he said, love not the world nor the things that are in it. Because what? All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Got to clean it up, so that God will be glorified, so that the miracles of Jesus Christ, the same miracles, are to be happening in this day and time. Well, what has happened? There has been a great power interference or interruption. And you know what happens when your electrical power gets interrupted. That means you can't switch on a light. That means you can't switch on the air conditioning in the insurmountable temperatures. You can't get the hot water going. Yeah, you might say, I've got a gas hot water tank. That's good, but it still takes electricity to operate that hot water tank. If you have an electrical stove, the stove won't work. So that means nothing is going to be operative. You can make up a provision or substitution or supplemental provision, but it's not like the general aspect of the electrical power working. And in today's congregations, I'm going to tell you like it is. You know it. You see it. It's been a great power desertion and even in most places interruption. Because why? Man is being adored, magnified, and glorified, but God is not getting the glory that only he deserves. Things are going on in congregational settings that should not be, and it's tolerated because everybody wants to fit in and get the funding. That's not God's way. We have to come out from amongst the world and be separate. As being an entertainer and these things on a secular level, that's fine. Because you're making a wage where you can maintain the integrity of making what is due for you and accommodating in life to cover your biological provisions. That's fine. But don't take your secondary and bring it into the congregation to make it primary, because the congregations are supposed to be for taking care of God's business, speaking the word, the manifestation of miracles, the power of prayer, bringing forth the tangible from the intangible. We're to see miracles, experience miracles, healing in the body, in the mind, in the spirit. We're supposed to nurture those children who don't have parental figures or have parents who are dealing with consequences. That means that there should be no child in our congregation or elderly person or single woman that is hungry, that is not clothed properly, that does not have the accommodations of their bills being paid. This is what the congregation is supposed to be doing. We're not to take our money and to inflate somebody else's ego by putting on appreciations and celebrations for the leader of the congregation and his spouse or her spouse and her family. No, no, no. According to what Jesus told us, you want to get it and get it right? Let's go back to the Genesis perspective. He says, when you go, don't take a purse with you and take no scrip. That means you don't look to the congregation to help you be rich and live like a king, and you've got people who are living like paupers coming every week. That's not God's way. We are obligated. Here are the obligations of believers, and we're going to go into the word. We are to take care of the elderly women, the widows, that means women who no longer have a spouse. We're to help the parents who are single, who are struggling, and to look after their children, and to provide with them what? We're to take the 10% and to make sure that they have food. Make sure that they have clothing. Make sure that the accommodations at the place where they live are comfortable. That means that their rent or their mortgage is paid. That they have rightful transportation to take care of their business. To make sure that they have the appropriations of biological necessities. That means utilities. Provisions that come along with utilities. Hygienic products. That's what our mission is to do. We've been commissioned to do that. And see, I'm going to tell you something. You might not like this, but who cares what you like? Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Many people have criticized the Catholic community, the Catholic Church. Let me tell you something. The reason why the Catholics are so blessed, and many of them are saved too, Jesus said, John said he saw a number that no man could number. So let me tell you something. There's going to be Catholics in heaven. There's going to be Episcopalians in heaven. There's going to be the Anglicans. There's going to be Catholics, or Church of God in Christ. Some people are going to make it in. There's going to be Baptists, Congregational Baptists. Or there's going to be Missionary Baptists. There's going to be Apostolic, Pentecostal. There's even going to be a number of other associations that many of us have not even thought about that are going to be in the kingdom of heaven. Because John said he saw a number no man could number. Stop labeling people and putting them in categories, because there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But the reason why the Catholics are so lucrative and financially stable is because they're constantly giving. they're constantly doing. You can go to these other congregations. Don't you tell me, because I know what I'm talking about. And they will have mega congregations, and people will turn to them and ask them for help. They say they can't do it. But when it comes to that pastor's birthday, for them to get name recognition and acclaim, they will go give borrow money to do it because they want recognition. Well, you got your reward with men, and you know that's going to run out, because when you face God, you have to be held accountable. It's not going to be good. And even so, when you reap what you sow on this earth because you turned your brethren away, God is going to deal harshly with you. So this is the reason why the Catholic establishment is so blessed. They're constantly being a blessing to the community. And I commend them for that. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul, I'm going to say it by name. God bless you. God bless you one and all, because you truly have come through for so many people who are true Christians. And you know what? It's a reality. We got to get back to Genesis. We're talking about we're Christians. We're getting up there, cutting the steps, some of us, clapping and singing loud. Put those actions into motion and do what is right before the eyes of God. And not only will God bless you once, he'll bless you twice. He will continue to make sure the repetition cycle of blessings keep coming your way. That's right. Because we're supposed to be doing good works to represent the kingdom of heaven. So God bless you, St. Vincent de Paul, and all that you do, and the other organizations and Catholic congregations that are so full of the love of God that you're showing the world a true example. And shame on us, shame on us. I'm speaking, it's shame on us for many other organizations that are putting out counterfeit statements about being Christian. Do your work. Check your work. Check your work schedule. Check your work agenda. And see if it doesn't measure up to what Jesus told us to do. You'll find out it doesn't, but it's not too late. You've got breath, you've got life, you've got an opportunity to get up and get it right and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That's the word of knowledge and revelation. And God bless you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity here on the spoken word to bring forth truth to believers, to unbelievers, to those who are maybe questionable in their faith. We're asking that you open up the windows of heaven and pour us out the blessing that we don't even have room to receive. Open up the eyes of our understanding. Unstop our deaf ears. Father God, that we walk in the ways of what is right and pleasing before you. And we ask that you touch, heal, and deliver all they that have tuned in on this glorious and victorious day it is, a day that you have made, that we must rejoice and be glad in it. And I bless the Son, Jesus Christ's name. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Amen. Okay, let's go to the 24th chapter of the book of Psalms. And here it is. Go get the word. This is our sword. This gives us the propensity to chop down and to destroy the very elements of things around us that are not right. So sometimes you don't have to just see things that are not appropriated and balanced. Sometimes if you are feeling a certain way within your intuitive self, Holy Spirit oftentimes tells us things. We miss. Do we take time to listen? No, we don't. We're so enveloped with trying to maintain the integrity of an image, we forgot the way in which we should walk, the way in which we should live, and the way that we should be. And so therefore, we need to come back to reality and worship God. He's the only reverend there is. Mankind can put those titles on himself. No man and no woman is worthy to be called a reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. Let's drop those titles, because titles don't give you entitlement in the kingdom of heaven. Because if the enemy comes at you, you can tell him, I got this certification. I have about 15 different certifications. But guess what? When the enemy comes at me, none of those certifications mean anything. My name doesn't mean anything, but oh, when I call on the name of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus, Oh, my goodness. You're talking about the transitioning and the changing in the laterals and the transference of the frequencies? It becomes manifest. That's the only authority. In the name of Jesus, get it right. Stop worshiping man. Stop adoring man. Get off this high horse for my celebrities. That's not of the kingdom of God. God is an equilateral God. There's no big ass, no little use. Stop having respect to persons, because that's disrespectful to God. Don't play with him. Don't play with, your children. Play with your friends. Even play with your family. Play with your spouse. But cut out playing with God. 24th chapter of the book of Psalms. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Okay, we see three compositors. The earth is the Lord's. God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, understand that. There is no further discussion needful nor necessary. And the fullness, that means everything condensed upon the earth, was not an accident. It was not an envelopment of social climate. It was spoken into existence by God. The fullness, that means everything condensed in it, whether it's life in the sea, whether it's in the air, whether life is on the ground, on the terrestrial level, everything, the fullness was given and created by God. Respect him. The world and they that dwell therein. The world means the current status of things now, the developments. Let me tell you something. God is so masterful. He's such an awesome God. He speaks intelligence to us. And he gives us the idealism to create things. Because the creative nature is instituted by God. But at the same time, too, if you're not walking in faith and not walking in spirit, you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. You start creating other evil things. And that's where all these different weapons and all of this of mass destruction comes into play. You, 24-7, you've got to keep your mind focused on the Lord. And the Lord told us he'll keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So we see that God is creator and originator of all. The second verse, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. That means that he spoke the materialization of land into the earth and the parting of the seas. And the rivers, the tributaries, the oceans were constituted and designed by him. That's why I always give this slogan. And yes, one day I'm going to get those products out. Destined for greatness because we were designed for excellence. That's it. That's the slogan right there. And it proves itself by looking at what God created. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? It's saying, who? The psalmist is saying here, David says, who will go into that secret place of the Most High? Who will abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Who will go into his presence and speak unto him? Who will? He that walketh upright and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's what the 15th division of Psalms said. Because why? You have to have your focus, your affections directed in the right path in this life. Oh, we're going to come into temptation where we're going to be tempted to fall away from the truth. And sometimes the lie looks more appeasing than the truth. We're going to be tempted to give in to our human emotions because you know what? We're also flesh, and the Spirit of God does not always strive with man because man is also made of flesh. So there's going to be temptation, but when we fall, we get up and we ask for forgiveness and we get back up again and keep moving up that pathway of life. So when your heart is clean, your hands are clean, your mind is open to the will and the power of God. And as a man thinketh, so is he. Because you know what? Then it generates to the heart, because in the heart is encased the affections, things that you're fond of, what you love. Your mind tells you you love, but it's embedded within your heart. And it being embedded within the heart means that what I do will reflect who I am from within. You think about it. Heart and soul. Your soul is your imprint of who you really are. Your mind is constitutes to the spiritual aspect of the way you are. You got it? Heart, who you are. Mind, the way you are. It all encases to one thing, being pleasing before God. For he that hath a clean hand and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. What is he saying? So to those who are humble in heart, see, it's seven things that the Lord hateth. And you tell me, tell you something. At the top of the list, a proud look. Have you ever came across people, and I'm going to tell you something. When I start looking at people through spiritual eyes, I see them differently. See, in a natural aspect, the people to the flesh, they seem so nice. They seem like they're really about God. But when you look at them with spiritual eyes, you don't see a very pleasant picture. You see people who have a snob, haughty look, turned up nose. Why? They're foolish. They're giving it to folly. Because you know what? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So you came, so shall you return. So God's not a respecter of person. And he's the Almighty. He can't be challenged. He doesn't look down upon anybody. Neither should we. Because the very person that gives the snob and snide look are those who God dismisses. He puts them in the back of mind. He said, because you're humble, because you're forgiving, because you're walking in the way of righteousness, righteousness will cause you to be humble. You'll tell people you're sorry. You haven't even done anything to. And you know all the while the word of God is telling you that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will pay. And that very person will see you blessed and prosper, and they'll be down to a denigrated nothing. Quit praying. This is real. You can laugh about it and joke about it. And so she's just speaking because she's a great speaker. Let me tell you something about great speaking. Gifts and callings come without repentance. But the realness of the character abides within. It's not about being good and great, competing with anybody, because I don't have any competition. I'm not trying to be like anybody else. I want to be what God would have me to be, a speaker of the truth, a lover of him and his people, and even to those who have not came back into the focus. Everybody was created by God. Whether you know it or not, they were. All that sin that comes short of the glory of God, we've all fallen off. And he just tells us to get up, I'm here. And that's what we must do. So there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Amen again. Okay, let's go back into our words, okay? So we know that having clean hands, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See, everybody else all blind, sad, and giving off to emotions. You're pure in heart, you see God moving. You see him moving. Nobody don't see it, but you see it. That's it. That's that. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He said, so persecuted the prophets that were before you, and so therefore great is your reward in heaven. God will give you a taste of heaven right in front of the hellcats who lie on you, who want to manipulate you. And you know something, there's a disease amongst us. No, I'm not talking about the newest pandemic they come out, monkeypox. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, there's a disease called narcissism. You know something, that narcissism is one of the nastiest, most foulest element of mental instability that there is. When people are narcissistic, they think that they're entitled. They try to denigrate those who they wish they could be like. They try to destroy and manipulate you through their actions. That's a demon spirit. And when you come across that spirit in somebody, I don't care who it is, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus. But God is not supportive of narcissism. That's a spirit that translates from Sodom and Gomorrah. And don't accept that myth. It's filthy. It's unclean. People are debaucherous because they want something at the expense of others. God sees you, and God will wipe you out if you don't clean yourself up. And the very person you try to monopolize upon, God will allow them to sit upon you as though you're nothing but a stool. Stop playing. Get it and get it right. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Samah. So what David is saying, these are they who seek after you, Lord, who desire you, Lord, who desire to please you, to serve you. And because they're willing to abandon all the previous disassociative behaviors and the disbelief and the carnal behavior, they're going to receive the fullness of heaven right here on earth. They're going to receive the miracles of financial prosperity, divine health, wealth, blessed family. What they touch is going to prosper. They just are blessed going out and blessed coming in because they do what you said do. They respect you, and they have not replaced you with carnal man or carnal woman. They're serving you because they're serving those who are underprivileged, those who have departed from the faith. They're going out to get them back in. They're going to receive the greatness of life. And because of this, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So because you've done these things, lift up your head and be proud and know that you belong to the Most High God. Walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, because through him we are more than conquerors, through him that loved us. And the King of glory, I mean that God is going to show up and show out in you, through you, by you, and with you. The greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He blesses that God prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies, my haters, my non-negotiators, my naysayers. God has prepared the table for me, that I eat the greatness thereof, because I love and trust him and walk in his truth. Despite my imperfections, he looks beyond my faults, and he administers to my needs. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. He's the Almighty, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jireh, the provider, Jehovah Nissi, our banner, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He's our all in all. And be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. That means God's going to show up and show out. Folks want to count you out and hoping you fall down and then they can keep putting their foot on you, make you feel entitled to be around them. You got to be their little slave. No. God will not have us ignorant concerning spiritual things. When God opens up your revelation about people, accept it. You might not like it, but accept it. And so shall you be blessed in all that you do for accepting the truth. And God's going to impart to you divine revelation, association, and appropriation for doing so. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. That means God has it. You want it, he has it. You desire it, he has it. You're seeking it, he has it. And in his due season, he will impart unto you for your obedience. As a father loves to reward his children, so does it give God pleasure to reward us for our diligence, to reward us for our service, to reward us for our humility. Because we know where the Lord brought us from, and we know what he has done. God gave me a miracle 2 weeks ago, and I'm telling you, I'm praising God for it, and I shared some of part of that miracle. And I pray over it that the miracles continue to replicate. Let it come through me, then I can give to others. Let it work in me so I can share with others. And God's going to keep it coming, keep it coming. And guess what? No naysayer, no hater, no debaucherous individual can stop what God has for you and what he has for me. They can't do it. If they're not careful, God will remove them from his presence and from his earth. Who loves life and wants to see many good days? I know I'm looking to have a wonderful, glorious, and victorious next 50-plus years. Keep your tongue from evil. Sometimes people will say things to you to try to snare you up and push you aside. Sometimes they'll even do things to be offensive. Don't give your energy to them. Pray for them, speak the truth, and keep it moving. Keep it moving. That means that God's really got something that he's going to give to you and only you, and right in the midst of those who oppose you. And sometimes people don't even know that they're opposing you, but the enemy has them so entangled that they're just caught up in a very bad situation, and we have to pray for them as we pray for each other. Well, listen, it's been a wonderful time of fellowship. We are coming back on Sunday. Yes, I'm back on schedule. Praise you, the Lord, because many of you have been saying, where have you been? When I've been out taking care of the master's business. And all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And when you get through listening to this segment, you can always go back to the Blog Talk Radio, type in the spoken word, and you can hear it again. That's why it's many times needful and necessary. My email address or contact is there. And look, prayer requests, counseling requests, anything that's relevant to your spiritual life or just to your natural life, maybe you just want to talk to me. There's people that I don't even know that I'm telling you the truth have connected with me on my secondary email platform. And it's okay because we're helpers one to another. And as a man whose ways please God, he'll cause his enemies to be at peace with him. So I say to you, my brethren, keep on fighting the good fight of faith and know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We'll see you again Sunday. God bless you and have a wonderful, glorious, and victorious evening, night, day, depending and contingent to where you are in this geographical world. But we know it doesn't matter because wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there. You've got your host, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Esquire, also known as the Modus Vini Mahavani Saint, and all things give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Enjoy the rest of your day.